You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Andy Holding in the studio. It's Pontefract and Wolverhampton on Tuesday afternoon, Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening, and we've also got racing over in Ireland from Roscommon as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Very well, thank you, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you.
Good.
We'll start with a look at the Monday jury, as we usually do, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing. Sean's got four races for us there. So getting straight stuck into the Monday jury, the first question, no surprise to see, it's about Golden Horn. So just how good is Golden Horn, Sean? I think he's quite good.
I think he's all right, isn't he? He's top class, and he's the standout colt of his generation, no doubt. I think we knew that, Mark, prior to Saturday's eclipse. We probably knew it when he won the Derby, but it was, that impression was confirmed when the horse that was second in the Derby, Jack Hobbs, went on and bolted up in the Irish Derby. You know, that really franked the form, and I think Golden Horn only had to run to form on Saturday to win. He made a very, very good horse in the Great Gatsby, but you know, it's hard for older horses to give the three-year-olds weight from this time of year onwards, so the Grey Gatsby was always going to struggle giving him £11, but Golden Horn, he just looks every inch a superstar.
Yep, remains unbeaten, first horse to ever win the Dante, the Derby and the Eclipse in the same season. Yeah, and you mentioned that the form behind him stacks up as well, doesn't it? So
yeah, and Frankie said he's the best horse he's ridden.
Really?
Yeah. He came out and said at this stage of his career he'd have to be the best he's ridden, and that's quite something.
Mm-hmm. Second question then, Golden Horn, Jack Hobbs or Trev Antipost for the Arc?
I think Trev would be the selection for me. I think Jack Hobbs is still improving, and I think he's the sort of horse who will improve further, being a son of Halling. It might be actually be a better four-year-old than a three-year-old. Golden Horn isn't certain to line up in an Arc, of course. John Gosden and Anthony Oppenheimer have said if the ground were on the soft side, then he'd probably swerve the Arc, so you wouldn't be backing him Antipost for the race, given those concerns. And Trev looks as good as ever this year. She comes right for around Arc time. Cricket Head will try and peak her to perfection, and she's getting a much smoother run at things this time around than she did last year. So, you know, there are a lot of ticks in the boxes for Trev. I think she's going to be very, very tough to beat.
Okay, 5-2 at the top of the betting for the Arc, Trev. Golden Horn 7-2, 8s for Jack Hobbs and Newbern, 10s or bigger for the others.
I think that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Who else glittered on the weekend's undercards?
I was at Haydock on Saturday, so didn't see a great deal of racing from elsewhere in the country, but I thought Lady Tiana won the Lancashire Oaks in good fashion. You know, she's going to be a bit of a flagship filly for her stable. That of Lucy Wadham, they're very adept when they get the right horses. They've proven that with jumpers and flat horses now, and I think Lady Tiana is worth stepping up again. Of course, it was a Group 2 on Saturday. Connections are going to have to look at Group 1 company, maybe over in France as well. There are quite a number of fillies Group 1s over in France, and she's a daughter of Sir Percy, who appreciates a bit of cut in the ground, so that might be a route they'll go down.
Okay. Next question, does compensation await Brazen Bow in the Darley July Cup?
Yeah, I think he emerged from the Royal Meeting with a huge amount of credit. Whether you think Craig Williams gave him a good or a bad ride, it doesn't really matter now, because I think what conspired against him was the lack of horses that he had to race against, Mark.
Yeah.
He's had to blaze a trail by himself. I think if he'd three or four horses with him, then he'd have been fine on the part of the track that he raced on. It was just a lack of company. He probably, you know, was just idling in front, and then Undrafted has come wide over on the far side and chinned him late. But given more luck in running, and if you know, it's more likely that he's going to be able to get in and amongst the bunch, then I think Brazen Bow should be tough to beat.
Right, just, second favourite in the betting, in fact. Mahara is 9-4 favourite for the July Cup. Brazen Bow 5-2 and then 12-1 on bigger prices.
Yeah, well, we know the July Cup is a race in which three-year-olds can strike and have a good record in. Mahara looked top class, didn't he, at Ascot? I think the key to Mahara, though, is quick ground.
Hmm.
And you just wonder, that, I mean, the weather's, it's warm, but we're getting localised showers, aren't we? And when the rain is coming, it's coming down quite heavily. So if the ground were to ease later in the week at Newmarket, then that would be a concern for the favourite. But he is very, very good.
OK, what is your strongest fancy for Newmarket's July Festival?
Oh, good question. I'd probably say Eastern Angel in what used to be the Cherry Hinton, now known as the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. And that's run on Friday. She just bumped into a very, very good filly in Acapulco, a filly who was backed as if defeat was out of the question at Royal Ascot in the Queen Mary. And in fairness to Eastern Angel, she was the only one to come out of the pack and look like getting close to the American tank. And I think the step up to 6 furlongs should suit her. She's been very strong at the end of all three of her races. She has a lot of speed, but she's not a particularly fizzy filly. She doesn't appear gassy. I noticed that particularly so in the race at Beverley, the Hillary Needler, when Paul Morenin was just able to drop her in, switch her off, and come with a strong late run. She could be quite hard to beat in the Duchess of Cambridge.
Okay, and the final question of this week's Monday Jury: it's getting tight at the top. Who will be champion flat jockey?
I think probably Ryan Moore, particularly given the new format. In recent years, of course, we've seen Ryan head away towards the end of the British flat season to ride abroad. And that mightn't prove to be as costly as it has been, because, of course, the flat championship finishes earlier than had previously been the case.
Hmm.
He's riding plenty of winners. I think he's 5 clear of Sylvester D'Souza, who I feel is probably most likely to throw down a challenge to him, particularly if Mark Johnson's horses continue in the rich vein of form that they're in at the moment. Whilst he picks up plenty of rides for Mark Johnson, the Johnson camp also have Joe Fanning to take plenty of the rides, and some of the Arab-owned horses are now ridden by William Buick and James Doyle as well, who were retained by the Godolphin operation. So he doesn't get all of the rides, and I think Ryan is going to be in very high demand.
Yeah, it's just a case of how much Ryan Moore wants it, really, isn't it? If he wants to travel around at the end of the season, then it might give somebody else a chance to catch him, but his lead could already be too big anyway.
He might just build such a lead that it could be over before the final 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
Mm, okay, then. So that's the Monday Jury for another week. Anything else caught your eye in the news before we move on?
Not really. I didn't see the action from America on Saturday evening, but Lady Eli confirmed herself an outstanding filly when winning the Belmont Oaks. She's unbeaten now. I saw her win the Breeders' Cup fillies race last year, and she looked very good then, and she's trained on exceptionally, and I think she's going to be very hard to beat against her own sex over in the States.
Okay, well, let's leave that there then. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. Sean's got 4 S's for us, and we'll get his bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Starting in the 3:10 at Pontefract, then, this one is the Pipalong Stakes, which is a filly's listed race. Over a mile, it's for four-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 9 here, Sean. Who stands out to you in there?
Well, Temptress comes into the race in the form of her life, doesn't she? She's still lightly enough raced, this four-year-old, and having had the 7 career starts to date, and she just keeps improving. That run last time out at Royal Ascot in the Royal Hunt Cup was an outstanding one. She was beaten by GM Hopkins, but had a whole host of top-notch handicappers in behind her. And for a filly having only her 7th start to run such a race, was quite something. She'd won a good Ascot handicap the time before that, bolting up, beating Solar Magic a couple of lengths. And I think now connections feel, and rightly so, that it is the time to go seeking a bit of black type with her. She's won a valuable handicap. She's come up just short in one of the hottest handicaps of the season. She's now rated north of 100, and she will definitely get black type, and that's going to be all important for her, because of course she has broodmare value now, does Temptress. She is one of only 2 fillies that are rated north of 100. The other is the Marco Botti trained Pellerin. Pellerin has only had the 1 run to date. That came at the Curra in May when she finished sixth in a Group 2 behind Broach. The form of that race, though, has been frank. The third horse that day was Amazing Maria. Amazing Maria, of course, came out and won the Duke of Cambridge Stakes at Ascot at the Royal Meeting. So the form is working out pretty well, you'd have to say. Of the others, I think Andrew Balding's filly, Merry Me, has to be considered from a good draw in stall one. She was just chinned by Grazie last time out around Epsom. Grazie is something of an Epsom specialist, though, and was in receipt of £9 from Merry Me that day. So I'd imagine Merry Me will be able to reverse the form. And another one likely to throw down a good challenge is Queen Katrine, who was a beaten favourite at odds on last time out over at San Siro in Italy. That was probably a little bit disappointing. She was put in her place by Testa Ocroce. But prior to that, had looked back to something like her best when winning a conditions race at Leicester. I think I'll give the vote to Temptress, but this isn't a bad listed race at all. It's a good enough renewal of the Pippa Long Stakes. It's not always the hottest race, but this year it looks well up to scratch.
Okay. Moving on to the next race at Pontefract, which is the 3:40. This is the King Richard III handicap, Class 3 event over 6 furlongs. We'll start here with Delville Prince at the top of the weights there. Sean bounced back to winning form last time when the visor went on for the first time. So if the headgear has a similar effect here, do you think Delville Prince can run well?
Yeah, I do. He beat Gramercy around Chester last time out. He was berthed quite well that day in 5 Gramercy. Was out wide in 14 and really had no chance. I thought he ran well to finish second. That, of course, round a bend, I think that probably suits this horse racing round a bend. Just keeps him interested. And I can see why connections have come to Pontefract with him. But he's berthed a little bit wide for my liking in stall 9 mark. I prefer to be drawn lower at Pontefract. I think there's a huge draw bias favouring horses drawn in low stalls. A horse that's becoming appealingly handicapped now would have to be Paul Midgley's horse, Sun Raider. And there's no doubt the standout performance of Sun Raider's career probably came here at Pontefract last year when he bolted up, beat Evanescent by 5 lengths. When the gap came that day, Graham Lee poked him through it on that far rail and he duly bolted up. Now he faced a pretty severe hike as a result of that. He went up £11. But he's sliding back down the weights and he's now only £3 higher than that win. Well, if he'd £3 more on his back that day, he'd have still bolted up. So I'll side with Sun Raider.
Sun Raider for Sean in the 3:40. Moving on to the 5:10 at Pontefract next. This is an apprentice handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. And none of them arrive in better form, really, than King of the Celts, Sean. Jason Hattrick.
Yeah, King of the Celts is in the form of his life. One thing you would say, though, about Tim Easterby's charge is that he seems at his best around Beverley. He loves it at Beverley, rarely runs a bad race there, and his 2 wins this season have come at that track. He scraped home on each occasion. What is a positive, though, is the fact that he was ridden by Rachel Richardson on both occasions in open handicap company. Now in apprentice handicaps, she's able to take the ride again, so that would be a real positive. And he's berthed well in stall 5 to try and strike. His style of racing should be suited to Ponty as well. He's a horse who likes to roll forward, so yeah, you definitely consider him. Luca Cumani sends up Lillian Bayliss, and Lillian Bayliss has to be of interest given that this horse was third in a handicap, in a filly's maiden last time out at Salisbury behind Blonde Me. Now, she was only beaten just over 3 lengths, and Blonde Me came out and won a Sandown listed race over the weekend, so that form is looking particularly strong. She could really be a handicap snip off 74. She's drawn well in stall 3, and Kevin Stott, who's attached to Luca Kamani's yard, would be one of the better apprentices riding in the race, you'd feel. Pamu Sharna is interesting. She's a 3-year-old, so is getting a nice bit of weight for age, like Lillian Bayliss. And Scirocco Passion ran a good race for Tony Coyle here at Ponty last time out. Given that we know she's acted well around the track, you'd have to consider her. But I think Lillian Bayliss could be very, very tough to beat here, Mark.
Okay, Lillian Bayliss then for Sean in the 5:10 at Pontefract, and moving to Brighton for their 7:25 next. This is a Phillies handicap, a Class 4 event over just short of a mile and a half. It's for four-year-olds and older, and only seven of them here, Sean, which makes it a little bit tricky, if you, you know, from an each-way perspective. But how do you see it going?
Yeah, I think I'll be siding with Cape Victoria here. Andrew Balding's filly was a beaten favourite last time out at Lingfield in a 0-80 handicap, so a one identical to this, but is still pretty lightly raced, Cape Victoria, having just had the four career starts to date, and you can't help but feel there'll be further improvement in her, whereas some of her rivals appear quite exposed. I think it's fair to say that, you know, good solid fillies, the likes of Yo Jojo or Mares, even Yo Jojo, Oratorio's Joy, Precision Fives in excellent form for Alan King, but Cape Victoria could just be open to a little bit more progress, so I'll side with her. Another one that's interesting, if she takes her place in the lineup, is Dynamite, because of course she only ran on Sunday at Market Race and finished second in a beginner's chase around Market Race, and so quite a market switch back to the flat, but she could be interesting, Dynamite. She's a half-sister to Cockney Sparrow, who of course only got better with age, so it's possible that she might still be improving, but as I say, I'll side with Cape Victoria.
Okay, good stuff. As usual, Sean, let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yep, sure thing. In the 310, the listed Pipalong Stakes, I'm going to go with Temptress, a filly who's still improving and brings excellent form to the table. In the 340, then I'm going to side with Sun Raider, who's berthed well. He's slipped back to an appealing mark, and we saw him bolt up at Pontefract late on last year, confirming his liking for the track. In the 5-10 at Pontefract, I feel we might have a bit of a handicap snip in the shape of Lillian Bayliss. She comes up against some decent rivals. It's a competitive enough handicap, but the form of her maiden win at Salisbury is working out really, really well. And then we switched tack to Brighton for a fillies handicap, and I feel that Cape Victoria might just be open to more progress than some of the other fillies and mares in the race.
Good work, Sean. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Andy Holding in the studio. It's Pontefract and Wolverhampton on Tuesday afternoon, Brighton and Uttoxeter in the evening, and there's also racing from Ireland in Roscommon. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.